Spice up your life with me, Health Chef Julia, as I set out on the journey of what is healthy. In each episode, we'll explore the different meanings of healthy. For some, healthy means indulging in something decadent and delicious. For others, it's a mental health day and a good workout. There's more to health than just food. It's about living well, enjoying your life, and having fun. Haven't you heard? Redheads do it best. Come with me and we'll find out just what healthy is. Welcome to a new episode of What is Healthy podcast, where we share every hack to get healthier and more sustainable lifestyle. I'm Chef Julia, and today we'll be talking to Chrissy King. It's great to have you, Chrissy. Thank you so much for being on.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Julia. I'm really excited to be here and chat with you today.
I obviously fangirl you and stalk you on Instagram, but do you want to share with the audience about who you are and what you do and all the things?
Sure. So yes, my name is Chrissy King. I'm a Brooklyn-based writer, speaker, strength coach. A lot of the work I do is in the wellness industry, creating a more diverse and inclusive wellness industry. And I talk and write and speak a lot about body liberation as well.
Which is extremely important to me because I hate diet culture, but I am a health-focused chef. And I just think that eating healthy and diet culture are very different things. And I think that people can spiral very quickly, and everybody has a different take on health and what health is for them. So the reason I started this podcast is because I wanted to interview people in all different health and wellness spaces and find out what health is to them and how they stay healthy. So that being said, what is health to you and how do you stay healthy?
Absolutely. So I love that you brought this up because, again, I think that word health has so many we've come to like believe so many things about what that word health means, right? A lot of us associated with being a certain size or like fat loss or being a certain body type. And so I don't think of health in that way at all. There was like early on in my, when I got into fitness, I was very deeply into diet culture. And so I thought those same things, like I need to get healthy. That means I need to lose weight. But in actuality, when I think about what healthy means for me personally now, I think about how I feel. Do I feel energized? Do I feel nourished? Do I feel whole? Do I have a good relationship with food? Do I have a good relationship with exercise and movement? How is my body feeling? And I think so often, right, we get so focused on like the scale or weight loss, right? And for me, I did lose a lot of weight and I was and not a good place mentally, right? I had a horrible relationship with food. My body image was worse than it was when I started. But I looked great on the outside, according to other people, right? But I didn't feel good at all. And so now I'm really focused on just like, yeah, how do I feel? How does my body feel? Am I paying attention to what my body actually needs? Some days my body is really desiring to go and strength train and get a heavy workout. And some days my body is like, take a nap. Some days my body's like, drink more water, like feed me more. And so those are the things that I think about when I'm thinking about healthy is how am I feeling in my body?
I love that. I couldn't agree more. Like, I feel like when people say they want to be healthy, they go the wrong route and they try to diet and overexercise. And that's how they get like hurt and like long-term issues occur because of that.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of restriction too, right? When it comes to the food stuff, all of a sudden that means I have to cut out all these things and I have to eat food that I don't like and all these things.
And it's just like a constant, it's what you end up thinking about it so much that like no meal is pleasurable or fun or exciting. It's like, so it has to be so meticulous.
And that's so important that you brought that up. I wrote an article, I don't remember who for what, but I wrote an article about food, right? And that food is supposed to be pleasurable. And I think now diet culture has made us believe that that's not like that's not an okay thing, that we have a pleasurable experience with food. And I'm like, that's so unfortunate because food is, you know, although like diet culture tells us like food is fuel, like, yeah, I mean, technically sure, but like food is so much more than that, right? It's experiences, it's connection, it's like brings back memories, nostalgia. It's like all these.
Exactly. The memories.
Yeah. It's all these things. Right. And so like, that's what food is. And so, yeah, it should be pleasurable. Like, why not?
Exactly. But like, yeah, but there's other tactics to go around that, right? Like portion control or even just, you know, I hate using this, but like an 80-20 balance or, you know, having a cheat day, like that's all fine. But I just think that you can have all the things that you enjoy just in moderation.
Absolutely. And I think that's the thing, though, like when we stop thinking of this restrict, because that's what restriction does to you, right? When you restrict your diet, then you want all the things because you've told yourself you can't have them. And when you really just get to back to a healthy relationship with food, and you can really tune into like, what does my body actually want right now? What does it actually desire? I don't wake up every day and like, oh, I want chocolate cake for breakfast. Like, that's just not how my body, that's not what my body wants, right? And so it's when we actually can have a good relationship with food and we stop this restrictive ideas of what we can and can't eat, what's okay and what's not okay. Our body is really intuitive, right? And so it's like this idea that if we give up this like strict control and regimen that we're just going to go off the rails is really not true. And I shouldn't say it's not true, because if you've been in a restriction place for a long time, there probably will be that period, right? But eventually your body gets back to a balanced state and you can really just be like, oh, this is what my body wants today. And a lot of days I wake up and I'm like, yeah, I just need some more vegetables. I need some more greens, right? And like, that's what I go for.
Do you have fitness goals for yourself? Like, do you set those? Like, how do you do all that?
I think, well, so for a long time, I was really into competitive powerlifting. And so my strength training regimen, I loved powerlifting. I still do. However, like for me, that became so much about like, I have to get better that I was like, I didn't always love training. I just would go because it was like something I needed to do as a goal, right? Because I wanted to be a stronger powerlifter. And that really served me for a really long time. I don't compete in powerlifting anymore. And so for me now, it's like, again, going back to like what feels good, right? And so some days that is, I love strength training. I'm always going to love barbell work. I go to the gym a few times a week and strength train. But then a lot of days, especially if I'm busy, if I'm doing other things, like my number one rule for myself, and it's not even a rule, it's just something that I try to engage in every day is just walking. So even if it's like 20, 30 minutes, that's something that's a movement practice for me that I try to incorporate every day. But again,
I'm the same way. I do that or a city bike. I make sure like city bike to work.
Right. Yes. Just to move a little bit. And again, it's not even just about like, oh, I have to exercise. That's not it. It's about movement, because for me, movement does so many things for our mental health, for our emotional health. And when I'm feeling like stuck or stagnant, I'm like, oh, I need to get out and move a little bit. I need to get out and walk. Right. And so I'm always just really cognizant to just pay attention to my body, but it is important for me. I feel better when I incorporate some type of movement. And again, if it's just biking or walking, whatever, just to like not be so sedentary, my body feels better.
I couldn't agree with you more. Like I remember for like full lockdown, like March, April, like I had to leave the house or I was going to get crazy. And I would go for like an hour long walk.
Same. I did that so much because yeah, like there was no other options, and like just staying in the house and sitting down all day in front of my computer. Yeah. I was like losing it. So
I know that you're a strength coach. So what does that mean? How does that work? And what would you say is like the most challenging thing about that? Like, getting people motivated.
Yeah. So honestly, I only have like a handful of clients left because I've just transitioned more into like writing and doing more consultation work, but I still have a handful of clients. I've been with you for a long time, but for a long time that was like the majority of the thing I did was strength coach. And I think with what I typically train and coached women, and I think is really cool because the base of my training was like not heavy lifting, but powerlifting and barbell work. And so I think what was really cool is that, cause I have a similar story too. Like I didn't ever see myself as a strong person. I never saw myself as a person who would like be like deadlifting or squatting hundreds of pounds. And so,
but you feel like a badass when you do.
But you feel like a badass when you do it, right? And so that's what I love about coaching and training women. And I never ever felt like it was like helping women have that experience. And then they just took over from there. They're like, oh my God, this is amazing. I love this. And so I love that because I know how transformative strength training was for me, and to be able to help other people have that realization for themselves. Because when I think of strength training, I think of like, yes, you're physically getting stronger, but it's also a mental thing, right? And you're like, wow, I'm doing something I didn't think I could do before. And so then it's like, oh, what other things have I not been doing that I probably could do, right? And so it's like the strength you gain in the gym really for me transfers into every area of your life. And so I love helping women feel like a badass in the gym, because then you just feel like a badass in life.
Yes, I love that. We're definitely going to use that blurb. How would you describe your, like, you, we talked about it a little bit and like what is healthy to you, but how would you describe your philosophy with health and fitness?
Yeah. So, you know, I think I am strongly, staunchly anti-diet culture. And so,
like, if I want a burger, I'm going to eat a burger.
Yeah, I get a burger. Like, that's just it. Right. And again, like, your body is so intuitive, right? Like, it's not like I don't choose to eat burgers. And even if you did choose to eat burgers every day, that wouldn't be a bad thing. But it's for me, it's like, I know when I have like not even a burger, like if I have like a really heavy like soul food meal, right? Like I have a really heavy meal, like I enjoy it, but I can't do that every night because I feel sluggish after. I feel tired. I feel like I need to take a nap, right?
You feel like you have a food baby.
Yes. And that's not how I like to feel. I like to feel energized after, like my ideal situation, eat a meal. I'm like, now I have energy to go to things I want to do. So I couldn't choose to eat like a heavy meal every day because I wouldn't feel the way I want to feel. And so I'm staunchly anti-diet culture. So for me, it's again, being intuitive, moving your body in ways that you enjoy, right? For so long, exercise has become like a form of punishment for ourselves.
It's like you party too much in December, so January is when you get your.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, exercise doesn't have to be a means of punishment or even a means to manipulate your body, right? It's a way to access to feel to actually help us feel better. And so moving my body. So for anybody, right? My thing is move your bodies in ways that feel good for you and actually ways that you enjoy, right? Like if you hate something, how long are you going to keep doing something that you actually hate? So do something that feels good for you, right? And when it comes to nutrition, like I know, because again, people have been so steeped in diet culture for so long that it's really hard for people to change their narrative around food, right? So I'm always like, you know what? How about we start with instead of taking away things from your diet, how about you add things? Like maybe you have a goal to add more vegetables, right? Or add more fruits or add more protein, right? And incorporate more instead of this idea that we have to take away things. And again, my goal is always for people to move back to a more balanced relationship with exercise and movement, but and moving away from restriction and also like giving ourselves the freedom to not feel guilt and shame around food or exercise or diet, meaning that if you feel like you ate a heavy meal 3 days away and you feel like crap, okay, cool, that's fine. That's no problem. It's how can I approach my feelings with curiosity and compassion, not guilt and shame.
I love how you said adding instead of subtracting, because it's so you add more vegetables to your plate and less of something else. Like you're gonna feel amazing, you're gonna be less lethargic, you're probably gonna have better digestion.
Yes.
I also think that people sometimes for like they don't listen to their bodies enough and they've been in pain for a long time, like bloating and like and people just are okay with it. But like if you realize if you change up your diet a little bit or kind of like maybe switch up a green for another green. But you're like, oh, wait, I don't look pregnant today.
Feel so better. Yes, I'm not bloated. I'm not cramping. I feel better. Yes, absolutely. And you're right. People have been so accustomed to just feeling uncomfortable that it's like normalized. Like, oh, this is just how you feel. And it's like, oh, or actually, no, it doesn't have to be that way. Yeah.
You're not supposed to, right? I'm gonna steal that line from you, add instead of subtract. That's so good. So if someone's getting started into their like healthier lifestyle, how would they like, what would you say? Like, let's say someone never exercised and really wants to get involved, like wants to do it. How would you incorporate their fitness into their lack of exercise prior?
That's a really good question because I think what happens for people sometimes is that all of a sudden they're like, oh, I'm gonna get healthy, I'm gonna get fit. And then they like have these very ambitious goals, right? I'm gonna work out 5 days a week for an hour a day. I'm going to like clean out everything in my cupboards and put only whatever I deem healthy. I'm just gonna go. And I actually think that's the worst thing you can do, right? I think that's just gonna set you up for failure. And so I think especially
Because you keep thinking about the thing that you threw away.
yeah, you keep thinking about the thing you threw away. You go into like overdrive and exercise. If you haven't moved your body like that, you're gonna be really, really sore, right? You're gonna burn out really quickly, maybe injure yourself. And so I think also this is the thing that's hard for people, especially like around the new year, is because you see all these people putting out these programs like get healthy for the new year, and like you're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do this thing. And I think the best thing you can really do when you want to change some of your habits are number one, just think of 2 to 3 habits that you want to change, right? And so maybe that is like a daily movement. So maybe if you, I always suggest if people aren't moving their bodies at all, just start walking every day for 15, 20 minutes. It doesn't have to be something super ambitious. It doesn't have to be something, just start moving, right? If you're not doing anything. Of course, I love strength training. So I'm like always like, yeah, cool. Like incorporate some strength training at some point. But again, that doesn't have to look like some long, arduous, drawn out. It can be body weight workouts for even like 15 minutes, 3 times a week. And just using body weights or things you have at home. And so I guess I'm always saying start slow and do things that are actually attainable and achievable. Because again, when you set like three, if you set a goal to like, I'm gonna walk 3 times this week for 15 minutes, and that might seem small and that might not seem like a lot, but if you do that, then you convince yourself, oh, I can actually do this, right? I can keep going.
Right. So like on Monday you go to weight train, you're like, oh, I deadlifted 5 times. And on Wednesday you go again, you're like, oh, I did it 10 times now. Like my body is stronger.
Right. And so like set attainable goals, things that are actually achievable, because that's going to build confidence, right? Like when you set these goals that are way too ambitious and then you don't do them because they were too ambitious, then you feel like a failure and you're like, oh, I can never do this. And it's like, no, let's start small. Let's commit to something. So yeah, maybe it's just, I'm going to walk 3 times a week. I'm going to aim to drink, you know, however many, 3, 4 to 5 bottles of water, whatever water goal. And then, you know, and I want to add 2 leafy greens to my diet every day. Like start something simple like that and then build from there.
Did you fall into that trend in COVID of like buying that giant water bottle?
I did not.
That like, no. You know, said like, you can do it. Keep going. I'm not going to lie. I bought it. I think it's still, no, it's still plastic wrapped.
Okay. So you never took it out. No, so like funny.
Pure Amazon waste of money purchase.
That's so funny.
I know that you mentioned that you have a handful of clients left and now you're focusing on writing and other things. Do you want to tell the audience what that stuff is and
sure
where they can find it?
Absolutely. So not even just over the summer, I've actually been doing this for years, but I started again over the summer. I ran a series of webinars, anti-racism for wellness professionals. And then I did diversity inclusion for wellness professionals.
If you want to go in, it's very important. Like it's true. Like majority of fitness professionals are unfortunately like,
yeah. And that's true. And also, I just think the industry as a whole, like really doesn't talk about. So when I think about health and fitness, right, it's not just about exercise and nutrition. That's a very small part. It's about your mental health, your spiritual health, your emotional health. And so I, you know, when I got into fitness as a trainer and a coach, I realized, and I started going to like more fitness events and like industry events. I was like, wow, for one, there's just not a lot of diversity and inclusion in terms of people that are being represented in the fitness spaces. And then also there's just really important thing, like, there's really important things that aren't being discussed in terms that affect people's relationship with health and wellness, right? And even when we talk about racism, right? Like, why is it, some people are like, why is it important to talk about racism when it comes to fitness? Well, racism, and the way I think about it, racism is a public health issue, right? Because if you experience racism, you have higher rates of heart disease, higher blood pressure, higher rates of cancer, diabetes, all these things, right? So it's like, well, how would we as health and wellness professionals not be talking about something that's going to negatively impact someone's health? And when we go into gym spaces and we go into yoga spaces or nutrition spaces, right? Like if we are not taking Kimberly Crenshaw has a term, intersectionality, right? And so that's the idea that people have varying overlapping identities, and that it affects the way their perspective and their experience in the world. And so when we're talking about fitness or we're talking about nutrition, if we're not taking into account all people's different varying identities and how that's going to affect them, we're really missing an important part of people's health. And so,
especially if workout classes are very expensive.
Yes. Workout class accessibility is a whole big part of that, right? Like there's so many things. And even when we're talking about nutrition and like food deserts in certain parts of the country, right? People's access to healthy food, produce and all these things. So all of these things are like intertwined. And so for me, it's like, you can't really, I don't think you can be a wellness professional without talking about all these intersections of identity. So anyways, needless to say, I've been talking and writing about this for years, but like, you know, a lot of the events of the summer, like suddenly people woke up, which I'm happy they're here now for the journey. But so I've been doing a lot of work in that. And now I've been doing a lot of consultations for companies around that type of work as well. I'm working on a book right now about body liberation, which I'm really excited about. And I'm also working, I'm writing an anti-racism program for a personal training company. So yeah, that's the kind of the things I've been working on right now. And just like really, and I'm still writing, you know, I write for a variety of platforms like Shape and Self and Health, and still writing for those platforms as well. All's always usually about the intersections of wellness. So that's what I've been spending a lot of my time on.
I love it. And where can people on social find you?
Yes, I'm most active on Instagram, and Instagram is I am Chrissy King. And then my website is chrissyking.com.
So before we end this, I ask everyone this, and it's always like quick on your feet kind of question. So don't worry, you can say anything. But if this is your last day on earth, what would your go-to meal be? Appetizer, entree, dessert? Anywhere, anytime, like any place in the world, any dish.
Oh my gosh, this is such a hard question because I love food so much.
I know.
And then you threw anywhere in the world in, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay, so if I'm having my last meal, I'm going to probably eat it somewhere in Europe.
Right.
Oh gosh, so challenging. Okay, so I'm going to take a tour of Europe, maybe. And so I'm going to have appetizers Oh gosh, this is so hard actually. There's so many. I love food so much. Okay, so I'm definitely gonna have my main course. It's gonna be in Spain, probably Barcelona.
Okay, I'm down with that.
Yeah, and it's probably gonna be so, like an assortment of like seafoods. And then, gosh, where am I gonna have an appetizer and dessert though? I'm probably gonna have appetizers in Paris, right? Right, like as one does. And then you know what? And then I'm gonna come back to NYC for dessert because there's just so many great places here. But this is a hard question because like I can't have one last. I need like a month to eat over. Yeah.
Okay, well, I love it. I think mine, I've been saying mine was, I think it was either fried artichokes or like some sort of
Ooh.
seafood dish for my appetizer.
Okay.
Entree is a chicken parm. Like, I just want like classic chicken parm. And dessert is an affogato, vanilla gelato, espresso.
That's a good, those are solid choices.
So that's it for today. Thank you so much for being on. And everyone, remember to follow Chrissy King on Instagram. I am Chrissy King. And follow me at Health Chef Julia and subscribe to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me today, Julia. This is such a great conversation. I really enjoyed it.
I did too. I loved it. I'm so happy we got to get it all finally done.
Yes.
I loved it.